Spirit. Before we start anything this morning, guys, let's open up with a word of prayer and let's start this off right. Father God, we just come before you, Lord, and we thank you for this time, Lord. We thank you for this time of worship, Lord. Just being able to worship you, Lord, and freely, Father God, and unashamed, Lord. And speak to us this morning, Father God, with this message that you have prepared for us today, Lord and Jesus. And just prepare our hearts, prepare our minds, Father God. Help us to focus wholly on you, Father God. And speak to us this morning, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, guys. Well, obviously, guys, AJ's not here this morning.
Again.
But it's cool because he is in South Dakota helping the mission team out there. So make sure you guys are praying for them and keep them in your prayers because they had 8 tornadoes last week that hit. Yeah, 8 tornadoes. So make sure you guys are praying for them, okay? Because they're going through a lot of battle, physical and spiritual. But yeah. All right. Well, I guess this morning I titled this message "Pride versus Humility." And we're going to be in a few spots, guys. Isaiah 14, verse 12. So mark your Bibles there. Isaiah 14, 12. And also in Ezekiel 28, chapter 11. So pre-mark your Bibles there, guys. We're going to be switching back and forth a little bit. Well, this morning, guys, this message I titled, this word pride. What do you guys think about when you hear the word pride or being prideful? What do you think about? Do some different words come to mind? For me, I think of selfishness. I think of being boastful. I think of being haughty. Not like, hey, that guy or girl's a hottie over there. Not that kind of hottie. Not talking about that. I'm talking haughty is H-A-U-G-H-T-Y. You guys know what word that is? It means arrogant. To be arrogant. Online dictionary defines this word as scornfully or condescendingly proud. This word haughty. Another dictionary, the Collins English Dictionary, defines this word haughty as an archaic word, meaning a very old, old word. Archaic as noble or exalted. Noble or exalted. That's interesting to me, that word exalted. So if you guys are taking notes, write that down, that word exalted. And remember that, we're going to be talking about that, and I'll be sharing why I think that word is interesting. But what else comes to mind for you guys? Does a certain person come to mind, or a family member, or somebody you know? Anybody, does somebody of that nature come to mind to you guys? Family member? Well, there's a story, guys, Greek mythology. You guys familiar with Greek mythology? Well, there's this man, or this god, I guess, called Narcissus. Narcissus was the son of Cephisus, however you want to pronounce it. I'm sure it's Cephisus. He's the son of the river god, Cephisus. And I actually have a picture of Narcissus. That's him right there. So the story goes in Greek mythology that this man, or this god, half god, whatever, caught a glimpse of himself in the river one day, exactly like that. I mean, this is fake, obviously. This didn't really happen. But according to Greek mythology, he catches a reflection of himself, and he can't stop looking at himself so much, that he's just staring at himself so much, that he eventually falls in and drowns. I thought that was hilarious because, you know, he was like, yeah, I'm a god. Oh, I'm beautiful. I'm dead. You know? Last time I checked, I didn't think gods could not swim. I thought they could swim. You know, apparently he couldn't. But anyway, so he was looking at himself so much he drowned because he saw how handsome he was or how good-looking he was, and he couldn't stop looking at himself. I think that's a great example of what self-pride is, of being in love with oneself. And it's a great example of loving ourselves. I know there's a lot of people in the world today that spend a lot of time looking in the mirror this morning. Maybe you guys spend a lot of time looking in the mirror, maybe when you get ready. But a lot of people waste their time trying to look good or trying to look a certain way to please man and please ourselves. Well, this morning, guys, we're going to be in a couple places. Like I said, we're going to start with Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. And in this passage, guys, in this verses, few verses, we're going to see the prime example of pride. The prime example of pride, or more appropriate, the beginning of pride, where it originated from. So read with me in verse 12. Our first point this morning is pride before the fall. In verse 12, how you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Another word for Sheol is grave. But we see here, guys, in Isaiah 14:12, where the first sin ever committed was. And that was by Lucifer. You guys know who Lucifer is? Who's Lucifer? Who? The devil. Right on. The devil is Lucifer. Or was Lucifer, rather. Lucifer is Satan. And it describes this word Lucifer, or is defined right there in verse 12. O Lucifer, son of the morning. If you guys look up that word, Lucifer means son of the morning or morning star. Have you guys ever, for those, especially those of you who have gone to Lone Tree before, or just here, have you guys ever seen like right before the sun rises and right when the dark is like vanishing, you know what I mean? And it's still kind of like that setting and you can still see the stars in the sky. It's beautiful, especially at Lone Tree because you're right in the mountains and you can see the stars so clearly. It's beautiful. That's how this word Lucifer, or this name, is defined. Morning star. That's amazing to me. It's such a beautiful name. But to us it isn't, you know, now, right now anyway. Because he's the devil. He's evil. But we see him being a beautiful angel, guys. Lucifer, how he starts off right before he falls. This son of the morning, how beautiful he is. Let's go down to Ezekiel 28 now. Turn with me. Ezekiel 28, verse 12. Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord God, you are the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. Skip down to verse 14. You were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. Skip down to verse 17. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. And I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings that they might gaze at you. So we see here in Ezekiel chapter 8, it gives a specific description of Lucifer, what he was before he was Satan. He was in heaven with God, and he was a beautiful angel. Can you guys picture Satan as a beautiful angel? No? What did today's world describe him as? What does he look like? Looks like a little red man, or not even a man, just like a little red creature with like two horns and like a pitchfork, and he's all red, and he has a little tail, and he's like running around like, you know what I mean? Like wreaking havoc or whatever. That's wrong. That's not what he looks like. Or that's actually... didn't look like that before. He's beautiful. It says he was full of wisdom. Perfect. Perfect. And how he looked. Notice it says in verse 14 right there. You are the anointed cherub who covers. Anointed. That word anointed means set apart for God's divine purpose. That's what anointed means. Set apart for God's divine purpose. Purpose. So if that gives the definition for anointed, it means God had a purpose for Lucifer, right? In other words, he created him. God had a purpose for Lucifer. He created him so perfect in how he looked, so beautiful. And know that Lucifer, when he was an angel, he was the highest of high. He was the best of the best. who was the number one out of all the angels, who was anointed, the anointed cherub, cherub or angel, the anointed one. It also defines anointed as bestowal of God's divine favor. Wow. So God had favor with Lucifer? He found favor in him? Is that hard to believe? God even creating such a beautiful creature? That's hard to believe that he found favor in him, that God had a purpose, a divine purpose set aside for Satan. And he bestowed favor upon him. He loved him. God loved Lucifer when he created him. That's why he created him so beautiful, so magnificent. But we see, if we read on, what happens. This perfection quickly falls. If we look at verse 15, you were perfect in your ways from the days you created till iniquity was found in you, or till sin was found in you. Wow. Look at verse 17. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. So we see here he's like Narcissus, right? Like we learned earlier. Just staring at himself, being in love with himself, that he drowned. Same thing with Lucifer here. His heart was lifted up because of his beauty. He saw how perfect he was and how beautiful God had made him. And he was like, why can't I be like God? I can be like God. If God created me so perfect and so beautiful, why can't I be like God? We see this pride being born, this first sin of pride filling him up and consuming him, where he just starts naming all these things. Like remember in Isaiah 14. Go back to Isaiah 14. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will also sit on the mount of congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High, yet you shall be brought down. I, we see here in the scripture. I. All he cares about is himself. Now, one thing I was thinking this morning, the word pride, what's the middle letter in that word? I. Isn't that crazy? Pride. I. It's all about me. It's all about me, bro. That's how the devil is thinking right now, or Lucifer at the time. Remember how I said to note that word exalt? That word exalt, I thought was interesting how it defined that. How it defined the word haughty, because it, remember, meant noble or exalted? Notice how it says right here in verse 13. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. You guys remember, or can you remember in school when you took when you, sorry, stop. When you guys think about like knights of the round table, or like princes and nobles and things like that back then, you know, all of those older guys like that? They were noble. They were exalted. That's where this word haughty comes from, or pride comes from. These nobles and kings were thought they were better than everybody else. That they didn't have to eat with this person, or they didn't have to associate themselves with that person. And I think that's funny because this is the word Satan or Lucifer uses right here. I will exalt myself above your throne. I will exalt my throne above the stars. Wow, I thought that was very interesting right there. Well, we see, guys, this pride, this love of ourselves, so much in today's day and age, right? We see it everywhere. Where do we see it? We see it when we're at home turning on the TV. We see it when we're reading magazines. We see it when we're watching movies. We see it when we go to the movies. We see it when we go to the mall. You see it everywhere, don't we? We see all the time people and just being in love with themselves. See it everywhere, guys. For me, when I was in, a little story, when I was in school, elementary and middle school too, this is going to sound really funny, and don't make fun of me, okay? But this is true. I would spend a lot of time on my hair. May not seem like it now because I'm pretty bald, I'm usually more bald than this, actually kind of growing. But when my hair gets really long, it's really, really curly. And I used to have it really long, almost like yours, but yours is more finer than mine. Mine was like really a lot curls, tight curls. And it was really thick. And I would go, right before school, I would go in there and get my gel. And here you go. To do my hair, wet it, and do all that. And then, here you go. Get that little curl this way. Make sure this goes right here and right here. And then, I forgot that spot. Oh, it was perfect. Oh, no, that's horrible. It looks awful. I don't like it. Let me wash it up. And I get some more gels like that thick on my hand. I'm rubbing it in, and I do it again. And I'm doing this over and over, and I will spend like 20 to 25 minutes just on my hair. Yeah, like, what's wrong with you, Richard? No, this was back in high school. I don't do that anymore. In middle school. I don't, I promise. I don't have hair. So, but I would spend all this time, guys, on my hair to just impress whoever at school or whoever. I wanted to be cool. I wanted to be accepted. I wanted to be like, hey guys, look at me. Check out these curls. Yeah, you know it. They're nice. That's what I wanted. I wanted that praise from my fellow classmates. I wanted that glorification for myself. Can you guys relate to that today? And I hope none of you guys do that, but I know we spend a significant amount of time on ourselves. And if we're not careful, we can become lovers of ourselves. I know a lot of you girls, I don't know if you guys put on makeup yet or what, but you read about it, like the celebrities. They hire all kinds of these people that cost, I don't know, X amount, millions of dollars, to just spend all this time making them look good. Forever, probably way more than 20 minutes, probably like hours. And that's just on their hair. They spend a whole other 3 hours on just one eyeliner right here. And then 3 hours on the other eye. Oh, then I gotta curl my eyelashes. You know what I mean? And they spend all this time and they're in love with themselves, and then they go out and then they just like walk around and say, you gotta look like me because you do not look good right now. They teach us these things in this world. We see it everywhere in the movies, in magazines, everywhere, guys. This pride within ourself, this love of ourself, and Satan wants nothing more than for us to be consumed with this pride in this world, doesn't he? It's one of his goals. He wants the world to be consumed with pride. He wants us to be lovers of ourselves. And I think, honestly, guys, he's accomplished this goal, don't you think? He's accomplished this goal. Yeah? Don't be afraid to answer back to me, guys. Yeah? Right on. He's accomplished this goal. And you guys are probably thinking, as you sit here as a Christian, oh, Richard, I'm not prideful. No, I'm humble. I'm never prideful. I never boastful, or I'm never selfish or anything, all these things. I'm never prideful. Well, first of all, that's pride right there. Saying that you're always humble, that's pride. And second of all, I don't think any of us can sit here and say that we're never prideful, right? Ever. I don't think any of us can say that. I think whoever says that they're ever and never prideful is a liar, honestly. I'm guilty of it too. We are all guilty of this. We all have our moments. Maybe it's not consistent. Maybe it's not all the time daily, but we all have our moments of being prideful. And we all have a certain pride that we're holding on to this morning, guys. Well, I have an example for you guys that of being prideful. It was actually last week on Wednesday night, right after church. This is about me, okay? But right after church, right when service was ended, we pack up, pack up everything, and we start walking outside. And as I walk outside, I see, I don't know if you guys know who Matt Parolo is. He's the pastor for the Renovate College Age Group. Anyway, he's out there, and I see him in the grass right here, right in front of the plex. And he's walking on this, like, tightrope thing, and he's like, keeping his balance, and he's like, oh, I didn't fall, He's like balancing, he's all turning around, he's like, yeah, And I'm like, oh man, I want to do this. I get all excited, and I kick off my shoes, and I jump in the grass, like, I want to do this. This looks easy, I can do this. But I'm saying this in my mind, keep in mind. I'm saying this all in my thoughts. I can do this, that's easy. And I'm like, hey, Matt, can I try? Can I try? I'm like a little kid. Hey, me, pick me. You know? He's like, yeah, man, come up there. I'm really into this. It's really cool. What it is, it's called slacklining. I don't know if you guys ever heard of that. You basically get he had it tied from one tree to another tree, and you tie it really tight, and you pull it with this like rope type thing. But the material that he's walking on is actually the material used from trampolines. You guys know that bouncy material? So it's really, really hard to balance yourself on this thing. But he's really into it, and I'm so excited. I'm like, oh, I want to do this, I want to do this. So he's like, yeah, jump on. So as I take a step on, I grab a branch, and I try to get my composure, you know what I mean, and get myself situated. And as I get myself situated, I let go. And then all the whole time, like right before I took that step, though, actually, I'm thinking, I'm going to show these people. I'm going to show these people how good I am. I have amazing balance. Because I'm thinking back when I was a kid, and I used to walk across fences like nothing. You know? So I'm thinking all these things, and then right before I take the first step, like, I'm going to show these people, and they're going to be like, Richard, you're the best, you get things so easy, and you're so cool, and blah, blah, blah. I'm thinking all these things, and I take the first step, let go of the branch, and I take another step, they're like, oh, Richard's going to do it, oh my gosh, I can't believe he's doing this, his first try, oh, and then he falls. And I fell. Then I get back up, like, oh, I can do this again, come on, second time's a charm. I'm going to show these guys, and then they're going to be like, oh, only a second time trying it, and he got it. And I'm thinking all these things, and there's a crowd, and Jessica, my fiance's in the back, she's watching me, and I'm like, I'm going to show her. She's like, good job, honey, that was awesome. And so I take the first step, I let go of the branch, and then I take another step, like, oh, he's doing it, he's doing it, and then I fall. And I fall. And then I go again, and the third time a charm, then I fall. Then I go again, and then I fall. And I go again, then I fall, then I fall, then I fall, and I fall.
And then you make it.
And guess what, guys? Guess what? I fall again. I fall again. Talk about pride before the fall, right, guys? But it's funny. This is an example, guys, of what pride does to us. I think we can all can relate to that. You know, even me, I was going up and I'm like, everybody's gonna be like, Dad, Richard, that's awesome. You're amazing. You're cool, bro. I want to be like you. You know what I mean? I'm thinking these things. It's ridiculous. It's crazy. And it's just consuming, guys. This pride. It's so prevalent. It's everywhere. And even here at church, guys, things like that can creep in. And if we're not careful, it can lead down a destructive path. I thought it was funny that happened to me because I was planning on teaching on pride. I think God was really wanting me to show an example to share with you guys because I thought that was amazing. I was like, oh, Lord. But I know, and also another form of pride, I was jealous of Matt. I saw Matt like walking down, balancing, and he turns around and he's all doing it backwards. I was jealous. I was like, I can do that. Man, he's like doing backflips on the thing. No, he wasn't doing backflips, I'm just kidding. But he was, you know, he was really, really good. I'm horrible. I'm horrible. And when we can admit that, well, I mean, it's slacklining, you know. So when I try that, I fell because of that pride, guys. And if you guys notice that in your guys' own lives and you see some of the similar situations, whatever you're doing, that creeps in. And it can be overpowering, guys. Seeking that our own praise. We see it all the time in sports, don't we? How many of you guys play sports in here? Raise your hand. Everybody? A lot? Good. I play sports all the time. Since I was 4, I've been playing sports. And you see it all the time with coaches, don't you? Do you guys hear your coaches always yelling at you? And they're telling you all these words, and then, you know, and you think they say, oh, it's encouragement. You know what I mean? And they're not really encouraging you because they're like, come on, come on, come on. You got to get up. You got to be better than that person. You got to train hard. You got to do push-ups. 100 more. You know what I mean? And you're like, ah, you know what I mean? And you're trying to train hard, and you're going crazy. And you're like, I got to win. They're like, you got to win. And you're like, man, I have to be better than another person? It's crazy. I'm not going to play sports anymore. You know what I mean? But that's what it was like for me when I was in sports, guys. Coaches all the time saying you got to be better than the other person. You got to be better than that person. You got to train harder than that person. You got to win no matter what the cost. You have to win. I don't care what it takes. And that's what they teach us. That's what they tell us. I thank God for some of the Christian coaches, you know, in the NFL. Because they go about it a different way. But we see that everywhere, guys, in sports. Everywhere. In the NBA, in the MLB, everywhere. All the professional sports especially. And when you're actually succeeding, guys, you know, when a lot of you guys are, I'm sure a lot of, all of you guys are really great athletes in here in sports and have learned and you guys are really good. But some of you guys are just those, you know, those natural athletes. You know what I'm talking about? Like when you're 4 years old and you pick up a baseball and you hit a home run. Like, that's impossible. But you know, you can be more practical. Like you grab a basketball, you're four and you shoot a basket and you keep making them. You're like, oh my gosh, child prodigy. You know? But some of you guys are like that. They have that natural ability that God has blessed you with. You know what I mean? Anything, skateboarding, whatever it is. You know? And you're just naturally good at it. And then your parents stick you in sports, and you keep doing it, and you keep excelling, and you keep getting better, and you keep getting better, and you win all these trophies, and that can get to you. I used to have a big head, guys. I ain't gonna lie. I mean, I know I have a big head now, but I used to have a really big head. I used to be really prideful, guys, and I used to think, because I was playing basketball since I was four. My parents stuck me in, and I just excelled and excelled. And I was always in a grade higher than me, so I thought I was good. Like, oh man, I'm phenomenal. I'm playing with kids 2 years older than me. You know, I'm like 5 years old. You know what I mean? Probably not, but you know what I mean? I'm going to the NBA. I'm going to the NBA. Heck yeah. Yeah, 5'6". Not happening. But seriously, guys, if we let this creep in, it can be dangerous and devastating, guys. And I'm sure you guys can all relate to this anywhere. And that's pride in sports, guys. Where else do we see it? Where else do we see pride? We see it in school, right? We think we're better than everybody else. We think we're cooler than everybody else. Everybody has their own little sects, S-E-C-T-S, like little groups. You know, cliques, you know what I mean? And everybody, you have the jocks and you have all these people that think they're better than everybody else. And you go to the lunchroom and you see that one child sitting by himself. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? You see that one kid that's sitting all alone and nobody wants to look at him because he's weird and he just, you know, he just looks weird. He doesn't dress like me. I'm not going to sit by you, dude. And he's like, meanwhile, he's like raising his hand. Hey, yeah, remember I met you this morning? You're like, no, I didn't. Hey. You know, you're running from him. But if you guys can think about that, that's pride. Thinking you're better than somebody else. Thinking you look better. Or you don't have to associate with that person because you're better. Where else do we see it? When you go to the movies or when you go to the mall? I see it all the time at the mall. When you see these guys, you know, walking around and they have their hat, you know, kind of slanted to the left. And then their jeans are a little baggy or whatever. Or even if they're not baggy, they just wear the tight designer skinny jeans. You know what I mean? And the nice shoes. And some of these guys wear the tags outside of their shirts that says $100. And they expect you to see it because they expect you to be walking this close behind you. But you can't because you don't know that person. He's a stranger. But he's thinking in himself, oh, I'm going to see, everybody's going to see this $100 in the back of my shirt. Hey, bro, check it out. I got $100 for that. I don't know you, but check it out. Where'd you get that? Walmart? You know what I mean? These people are like that. You know what I mean? These people are like that. And then they're like, look at those shoes. Those shoes are horrible, they tell you. Look at my shoes. I got new Jordans. You know what I mean? Look at my shoes. Look at my new clothes. Look at my new pants. I spent $75 on them. Whoop-de-doo. You know what I mean? So, but these people, you see it everywhere, guys. All the time. Everywhere. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction. And a haughty spirit, again, there's that word haughty, noble or exalted, condescendingly proud, spirit before the fall. Wow. 2 Timothy 3:2 says, for men will become lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. Did you guys note that? If you guys are taking notes, write that down. That's scripture. 2 Timothy 3:2, I'll repeat it. For men will become lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. This is happening everywhere, guys. And it's even happening in church, everywhere. Us as Christians, it happens to us. And some of us are just so consumed by this pride that we think we're better than everybody else, or we think we have to look a certain way to gain attention or whatever. This pride is everywhere. Did you guys know there are 6 things God hates and 7 things that are an abomination to Him? Did you guys know that? That's actually Proverbs 6:16 through 17. It says there are 6 things God hates, 7 things that are an abomination to Him. Guess what's first on the list? What is that? Pride. An abomination to Him. 7 things that are abomination to Him. And the first one on the list is pride. Wow. That's amazing. It also says in Proverbs 8:13, pride do I hate. Proverbs 16:5 says, anyone who is proud in his heart is an abomination to the Lord. Anyone who is proud in his heart is an abomination to the Lord. Wow. I think you guys get the picture, right? That God hates what? God hates what? Pride, exactly. Pride is dangerous, guys. It's destructive. Like I said, it goes before destruction. And when it's not dealt with, it can be very devastating to our lives, guys. Very, not a good thing at all. So if we see this thing, guys, we notice it, we need to be aware of it, and we need to not let it consume us, guys. We need to not let it take over our lives. Or we're practicing this pride, and then we're showing others. You call yourself a Christian? You're saying you're better than me? You're a Christian? You go where? Calvary? You know what I mean? Even Christians, guys, we can get caught up in this. But it's okay, guys, because if we notice this, if we're aware of this, there is a solution to this, guys. There is another side to this pride thing. William Law wrote, pride must die in you, or nothing of heaven can live in you. Did you guys notice that? William Law said, pride must die in you, or nothing of heaven can live in you. Wow. Pride must die. We have to kill this pride in our lives, guys. We have to kill it. Or nothing of heaven can live in you. What do I think of when I say the word heaven? I think of God. I think of righteousness. I think of holiness. I think of perfection. I think of attaining a state of perfection. All these beautiful words that we can attain. But if pride starts within our hearts, guys, it can consume us. It can grow in us. We must kill it. Pride must die, William Law says. And this brings me to our next point, guys. Just humble yourselves. Humble yourselves. So enough with the talk of just pride and the specifics on Satan and all of that. And the flip coin on the other side of it is humbleness, or rather humility. That's the solution, guys. Humble yourselves before the Lord. James 4:6 says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God resists the proud. But then what? He gives grace to the what? He gives grace to the what? The humble. He gives grace to the humble. How do we humble ourselves, you might ask? How do I humble myself, Richard? Well, I've outlined 3 points here, guys, of how we humble ourselves. 3 simple points to doing this, to taking care of this sin in our lives before it leads down a destructive path. The first one is be aware, guys. Like I said before, we need to be aware of what pride is in our lives. If you guys stop and think about what you do when you go to school, you guys aren't in school right now, but whatever you do on a daily basis, and you guys have to think of what kind of pride that you guys do. Are you guys spend a lot of time in the mirror? Do you? No? Are you selfish? Do you brag a lot? That's one thing I used to do all the time. I used to brag all the time. Dude, I'm sick. Did you see that shot? That was a 3-pointer way over there. You know what I mean? And all these things. And did you see that pass, dude? Or did you see that kick or whatever? that boastfulness? Do you guys brag a lot? Do you have that pride in your life? What kind of pride do you guys have in your life, even if it's little? Because sin is sin to God, guys. It doesn't matter how big, doesn't matter how small. Figure out what pride in your guys' life that you tend to notice. And notice it. And you notice it, and you see it, and you pray about it. And what do you do next? Point number two, you cut off your pride and confess your sin. Cut off your pride and confess your sin. So once you guys are aware of what pride is in your life, or that certain specific pride in your guys' life, once you're aware of it, the next thing to do, what do I do next, Richard? You confess your sins. You cut it out of your life. Cut it completely out. Kill it, like William Law said. Put it to death. And confess your sins. I mean, some of you guys are thinking that this morning. I need to do that. Well, there you go. Be aware of it. Cut off your sin, guys. Confess your sin. And God will bless you. Because He gives grace to the humble, like we said earlier. And He resists the proud. And our third point is learn from example. Learn from example. A lot of things come to mind, guys, learning from example. But the best example, or the best thing that comes to mind is the story, or rather not story, this event in the Bible about a man who's eating a meal with his friends, and he gets this bowl. I don't know how big it was, but he gets this bowl, fills it with water, and he has this rag with him, and he gets down on his knees and he starts washing his friend's feet. Can you guys imagine washing your friend's feet? You guys look at the person next to you, and can you imagine washing their feet? Yeah? No? I can't tell you guys enough that is a humbling thing. Very, very humbling thing, guys. I had the privilege to go on the South Dakota mission trip last year. And our leaders, Chug and Karen, the pastor and his pastor's wife out there, the missionaries out there, they gave some of our new leaders gifts. So I got a blanket that she actually hand-stitched. It was beautiful. Well, I got a blanket, and then she sat all of us, the whole team, in a row, and they went to each of us with a bowl and some rags and washed our feet. I couldn't stop crying, guys. I couldn't. How humbling that was. How just amazing that was. Amazing. If you guys ever get a chance, do that for somebody. Do that for your friends. Get some people here today. Be like, hey, did you guys hear that message when he's talking about, you know, wash feet? Hey, I think we should go do that. We should go do that somewhere at a park or something like that. You know what I mean? Because it's not. You're showing that. And I think that's amazing. This man got on his feet and his knees and hands and started washing his friend's feet. Well, right here, guys, is the prime example of what humility really is. Prime example, and this is our last and final point, which is humility made perfect. Humility made perfect, guys. Philippians 2, 6 through 8. Who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even to the death of the cross. Who is this? Who? This is Jesus. Jesus, being God, coming in the form of a man to be a bondservant. Can you guys imagine Jesus getting on his hands and knees and washing your feet? Him being God, Him being perfect in every single way, and glorious and magnificent, God, our God, got down on His knees with a rag and water and washed His disciples' feet. I don't know if you guys have ever read, or if you guys researched, you know, people in biblical times, that their feet, oftentimes they didn't even wear sandals a lot of times. They walked barefoot. Their feet were dirty. Their feet were filthy a lot of the times, most of the time. Dirty. And they hardly washed them. But Jesus got down and he washed their feet. You're like, Jesus washed their dirty feet? They're like smelly? Everything like that? But that's the example, guys. And they're like, disciples are like, no, Lord, you shouldn't be washing our feet. We should be washing your feet. Give me that rag. Give me that towel. Let me wash your feet. And Lord says, no, for I didn't come to be served. I came to serve you. He came of no reputation, like Philippians says. And he said, I came to show you what you should be doing for other people. Showing humility, not being prideful, guys. Show that to all people. And that's what we need to be doing, guys. Do you guys have pride in your life this morning? Like I said earlier, guys, cut it out. Be aware. Cut it out. Confess your sin. And learn from Christ's prime example, guys, of humbling ourselves. That's what we need to be doing. Humble yourself, guys. Humble yourself before the Lord. Like I said earlier about that kid who sits alone by himself at the lunchroom when you guys are at school. You know? That kid that's weird. Or that looks different. You know what I mean? Afterwards, bro. That kid that's just weird to you guys. Be separate. Put on Christ, and at that moment, don't be proud. Don't think you're better than that person. Don't think you look better than him or you look cooler than him just because he doesn't hang out with the cool people. Go up to him. Be separate, be different, and show everybody else in the whole lunchroom, why is he going over there talking to him? You know what I mean? And then you go talk to him, and you minister to him, and you witness to him, and you probably lead that kid to Christ. That could probably be the most dramatic event in that kid's life. You just speaking to him, because nobody ever talks to him. We need to be separate, guys. We need to put on Christ daily, constantly, guys. Every day. Don't be proud. Be aware of this pride. Don't let it become destructive in our lives, guys. I'm going to ask Lorraine to come up and do one final song as we end service. And as we end, guys, think about what pride you guys are holding on to in your guys' life. Think about the opposite of being prideful, guys. Being humble. Showing humility. Not letting it consume us. Having trust in the Lord to give you strength. To give you boldness to step out, to be separate. And to show humility, guys. Don't be afraid of what people will think about you. Don't be afraid of what people say about you. Now, there was a girl that I heard about on the news, on the radio, the other day, that she committed suicide in the car. She left a lot of notes. She left a lot of suicidal notes. And a lot of the notes kept repeating over and over, and a lot of them said, I'm never going to be good enough. I'm always going to be second best. Someone's always going to look better than me. Someone's always going to be better. Someone's always going to look better. And that, exactly. It's not true, guys. It's not true. And she made a choice to do that. That shows you how destructive that can be. And ultimately, that's what Satan wants for us, guys. He wants to destroy us. He doesn't want us to be humble. He doesn't want us sharing our the truth with the people or non-believers. He doesn't want that. He doesn't want us leading people to Christ. He doesn't want us to be humble. He wants us to be proud and be lovers of ourselves, guys. He wants to be in love with ourselves. Put it away. Notice what pride you guys have in your lives and put it away. If you guys want to do that today, or if you guys want to make a decision to give your lives to Christ, maybe you've never done it before, come talk to me. Come talk to a leader. And we'll hopefully get the privilege in leading you in that prayer, or even just counseling you into just getting this pride out of your life. And we can go more specifically in detail with you guys. But please, don't be afraid to come and talk to us about it, guys. Because that's what we're here for. Use us. Because we want to be used by God. Come talk to us. And let's get this pride out of our lives, guys. Let's stop today. Let's take a stand today, guys. Let's pray. Father God, we just come before you, Lord. And we thank you, Father, for this message you have prepared for us, Lord. Of knowing the difference between pride and humility, Father God. Where pride has originated from, Lord. What I ask this morning that you reveal to us what pride we are dealing with right now in our lives, Father God. I pray that you make that clear to us this morning, Father God. You reveal that to us this morning, Father God. Because we don't want it anymore, Father God. We don't want it to consume us. We don't want this. We want to hate what you hate, Father God. We don't want any self-glorification, Father God. We don't want to seek any praise from anybody, Father God. We want to give you the praise, Lord. We want to give you the glory for the glorification, Father God. Because you alone are worthy, Father God. You alone are worthy. Who are we that you are mindful of us, Father God? We're nobody. Help us to put away being lovers of ourselves, Father God. We live in a world where people are lovers of themselves, Father God, and we just want to please man. We want to please ourselves. Help us to get rid of it, Father God. Cut it out of our lives, Father God. Help us to please you, Father God. Let us decrease so that you may increase, Father God. We want you to increase, Lord. It's not about us. It's not about us, Father God. Help us, Lord. Give us strength. Give us wisdom in this, Father God. Speak to us this morning. Thank you for speaking to us this morning, Lord. And as we leave today, Father God, help us ponder on these things. Help us think about what pride we're dealing with this morning, Father God, and to be and to put on Christ every single day, Lord, wherever we're at, Father God. To give you praise and give you glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Jealous for me, love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. All of a sudden, I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just affections are for me. Oh, how he loves us.